When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Peckle Park, a new beginning. Let's go. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Baby says she want to go to the game. Taught her how to say Padre gang. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Mitchell and Ness with the old school name. All of the homies holler Padre gang. Yeah, they.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 203 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. I'm your host, Ben Fadden. Hopefully you can hear me well. The Padres just won 2 out of 3 against the New York Mets in New York. Yes, today they just lost a couple minutes ago. That wasn't the best way to, you know, show off on Sunday Night Baseball because they didn't really show off until like the end there where they had some offense. But you know, they 2 out of 3 against the Mets, and that's going to be my main takeaway. I might be sounding a little quiet right now. That's because I'm at a relative house in Minnesota and I'm not trying to wake them up upstairs. But I'm going to do a series reaction. So as everyone's coming in here, I appreciate you for tuning in. This episode is brought to you by Gaglione Bros, famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries. You can visit GaglioneBros.com to view their entire menu, the phone numbers, the addresses, they're all there. Great garlic fries and cheesesteaks at Petco Park, in Mission Gorge, in Point Loma. So check them out. So as everyone's getting in here, you know, tonight, we'll start with tonight's game. We can talk about yesterday's game as well, and then Friday's game. So we'll go kind of in reverse order. But tonight, I mean, Padres lose 8-5. And now they head to Detroit. What's their record right now? 54-43. They had 13 hits tonight. You know, 13 hits. That's, you know, like Musgrove on the mound. Like Musgrove, I didn't think he was the problem. Like, yeah, he left the game tonight with the Mets having a lead, and he did give up that 3-run home run. But the offense did score 5 runs. What kind of ticked me off in this game was a little bit lackadaisical defense. The first inning, they had the bases loaded, and Eric Hosmer grounded out to second base. You know, he had some other hits in this game. He drove in a run as well. I think that made it 1-0 at the time. So I'm not going to get on him too much. But, like, the first inning, bases loaded, grounds to second. And his red ball rate the route to first base. Now, instead of going straight to the bag, he ran like he thought it was a single, and McNeil slid and got it, and then he looked stupid. Pretty much why I worked with Hosmer in that first inning. And then later in the game, Estevez didn't know where he was in center field against the wall. And he drops that ball, or doesn't even touch that ball. There was another one, Manny Machado, late in the game. I think it was the 7th or the 8th inning. He made a throwing error. That brought in 2 runs. And and the Padres end up losing by three. So some of those costly mistakes not coming through with guys in scoring position, that I feel is, you know, Steven Wilson not being great. I feel like that's where this kind of costed the Padres more than, you know, Musgrove not going through six like he usually does and giving up that, you know, three-run home run to Joe Musgrove. You know, today the Padres, they left 21 guys on base. 21. They were 3-for-12 with runners in scoring position. You know, Machado had the error. Estier Ruiz in the second inning, he was caught stealing. He was safe. I'm not going to get on him for that. I'm just saying, you know, pointing out something that was in the box score. He was thrown out stealing, and Lindor pushed him off the bag, and they didn't, you know, didn't overturn it. So that could have been another runner in scoring, but it's not a guarantee that the runner in scoring position would have ended up scoring, obviously. So, you know, yeah, tonight was frustrating. Obviously, you want to win when Joe Musgrove's on the mound. But at the same time, I also realized that they took 2 out of 3 against the first place team in the National League East. And so I'm not going to get too frustrated about that. You know, these first two games of this series, you saw some really encouraging performances from Darvish, from Snell. Hosmer had a home run, Grisham. I know Grisham kind of got banged up yesterday. We'll talk about those games. But those are my initial impressions of the series. I'm glad they took 2 out of 3. The Dodgers, by the way, they helped the Padres this weekend. I believe they swept the Giants. And so the Giants are now 5 games back of the Padres for a playoff spot or for the second wild card. And I believe it started out, I think before this weekend series, they were like games up on the Giants or something. So they have increased, you know, that gap. Now, when you look at the wild card standings, there are other teams involved. The Padres have a 3-game lead on St. Louis for the final wild card spot. They have a 4-game lead on Philadelphia, 5 games on San Francisco, and then I think 8 games on Miami. So the teams I'm worried about, St. Louis, Philly, San Francisco, got to be better than 2 of those 3, right? Just have to be better than 1 of those. I think it would be 2 of those. Yeah. Be better than 2 of those 3 teams, and they'll get in. I think they can do that. I expect that the Padres will make some moves to improve this team at the trade deadline. Just don't know what those moves are going to be. I know there's all these reports about Juan Soto. Obviously, I talked about, a little bit about that on the pregame show today. And the Padres, they, I think, should be the most aggressive team to go get Juan Soto just because of the situation that they're in. And I think that they have the assets to go get Juan Soto. And I think they can get him if they're willing to give up, obviously, what the Nationals want. I see Anthony in the chat here says trade Grisham, trade Lamet, trade Hosmer. And, you know, trading Hosmer, you're going to probably have to give up a top prospect and you're going to have to eat a lot of that money. I'm not saying that I'm against that. Maybe the Cubs are a team where they dump Hosmer, but they give up Camposano, Alfaro, and maybe another top prospect like a Jackson Merrill or something to get that done. Maybe that's too high of a prospect, Merrill, that is. But I'm just thinking of just throwing out situations how they maybe could dump that contract. You know, as for the trade Grisham and trade Lamet comment, Grisham, maybe he would be involved in a Juan Soto trade and the Nationals take him on. I think he has 3 years of control after this season. If they want someone to kind of replace Soto, like at least a body replace that's pretty controllable in the outfield, they can do that. And Lamet, I just don't know how much value he's going to have on the trade market. Like, he has a 10 ERA, I think, this season in the big league. So I just don't know how much you'd get back for him. But getting back to this series, Padres take 2 out of 3, 54-43 is their record right now. Just lost 8-5 to the Mets as I'm live here on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I appreciate you tuning in. If you're watching live or on replay, here on YouTube. If you're watching live, you can use that super chat function there in the comments. I appreciate any support for the channel. And I believe if you're watching replay, you should be able to use the super thanks button. So if you want to support the channel that way, there you go. I appreciate any support. Even if you don't support the channel via like donations, money donations, you're supporting the channel by listening to me talk Padres. So I really appreciate that. As for Friday and Saturday, obviously those are the first two games back from the All-Star break. There was some news about Joe Musgrove and an extension before, I think, Friday's game. And, well, I say news. It wasn't really, like, big news. It was more just saying, hey, the Padres and Musgrove, they're working on it, and Musgrove believes he'll get a deal done, or two sides will get a deal done, him and the Padres, when the time is right. And he was so busy with the All-Star game festivities and all that, that he just didn't have time to look over any of the Padres' offer, like the details or anything. And then he was starting tonight's game. So I think that he's probably going to really look over it during this Detroit series. And instead of, like, you know, trying to cram and make a decision when you don't really have to make a decision, you know, on Saturday before the Sunday start, I think he probably is going to be looking it over during the Detroit series, and hopefully an extension gets done during this next week. But again, AJ Preller is also, you know, busy with a lot of trades and all that as well. So maybe if Musgrove's side doesn't like this offer, then they table it. And you obviously hope that they don't table it, but Musgrove was saying to the media, I think on Friday, before this series started, he was just talking about how he doesn't want this to be a thing where it drags on throughout the season, because the Padres are still trying to make the playoffs. They still are trying to contend for a World Series. So putting, you know, this, like, you know, boulder on his shoulders, I don't think he wants that. And so if they can't get to an agreement within the next week, then I would think he'll try to just table it, and then you hope that in that 5-day window between the end of the season and when other teams can start talking to free agents, you hope in that window the Padres can get a deal done. Anthony, thank you for the super chat. He says Lamet and Grisham mix up for Hosmer. But oh, trade, he wants to trade Lamet, Grisham, and Hosmer together. They don't make, no. I just, Lamet and Grisham, they don't make up for Hosmer. Lamet is not some guy to do that. You can definitely hit some home runs, but he's not been great in the field this year. He's just, I just don't know how much value he really has. It feels like he would just be like a throw-in to the Soto deal so the Nationals could have literally a body out there in the outfield. I think that's what he'd be. I just don't know how much value he has. So I think Lamet and Grisham just add to the headache of a Hosmer deal for any team trading for him, to be honest. But I appreciate the super chat. I appreciate the input. All right, getting to Saturday's game, since we're working backwards. Padres won this one 2-1. And this was, well, Blake Snell pitching great. Adrian Morejon pitching great. Chris Matt, Garcia. Rogers was a little bumpy, but Manny showing up. I mean, that's what this game was on Saturday. Manny hit that big two-run home run, and those were the only runs the Padres scored. You know, that's baseball. The Padres scored less runs yesterday than they did today, and they won yesterday and lost today. That's baseball. I was encouraged by what I saw from Blake Snell. Five innings, no runs, walked two. So usually when he walks three or four guys, that, and definitely six guys like he did in that Colorado start, that is a recipe for a disaster, as we've seen in many Blake Snell starts. But I was on a plane during this start, so I didn't really get to watch it, but I did see the highlights, and it looked like he got in and out of every jam possible. And so you could definitely say in the chat here, hey, Ben, getting in those jams, that's not good. But I would say, hey, look at the positive here. He could have not gotten out of those jams. You know, yeah, he got in them, but he got out of them as well. And so I'm trying to look at it from the positive from Snell's start there, maybe because I want to build up trade value to trade him. And maybe you can get back a reliever, or you can get back a bat or something if another team thinks that they can fix Snell consistently, because he's under control for next year as well. But I'm trying to look at it from the positive side with Snell. And so I think that's something that Snell can build off of, and hopefully he just doesn't get in as many jams as he did last time out. And then Chris Matt had an inning, no runs. Morahone, inning and a third, no runs. He struck out 4 of the 5 batters that he faced. I mean, huge, huge props to Morahone last night. By the way, tonight's ESPN broadcast sucked. Carl Ravage didn't even know how to pronounce Adrian Morahone's name. Morahone, I think, is what he was saying. The broadcast wasn't great. Anyway, back to Saturday's game. I'm glad we have Donnett Mudd. Back to Saturday, the highlights that I was looking at, I mean, the fastball up was electric. Manny said it after the game. Morahone's stuff is electric. This guy, him and Nick Martinez, and then Chris Matt as well, but just him and Martinez, if those guys pitch multiple innings for this bullpen, I mean, that is one, it can, you know, save some of your bullpen, but also just in terms of just providing impact, like it's a huge impact that Martinez and Morahone can provide to this Padres team. And even if they don't pitch innings, if they pitch one inning, well, look, I'm confident in having Morahone and Martinez be the 7 and 8 inning guys right now. I know that Bob Melvin is saying that Luis Garcia is still the 8th inning guy, and that's fine. I don't have a huge problem with that right now, and unless, you know, the next 4 appearances or something, he blows up. But, 6th, 7th inning right there for if someone goes 5 innings, or even if someone goes 5 innings, you can have Martinez and Morahone throw multiple innings if that's, you know, how the bullpen chart, their reliever usage works out. They throw multiple innings, and now you pretty much save the rest of your bullpen for a night. And that's huge going forward for this season. And I know that they have more rest days this season, they have more rest days in the second half of this season than they did in the unofficial first half of the season. But still, using your weapons the way, using those weapons efficiently like this and maximizing the weapons that you have, and not just using Martinez for one inning like they have the last couple times, using him for multiple innings, I think that's where he can really excel and give some of the rest of the bullpen some time off. I think that can really help the Padres going forward. So huge props to the pitching yesterday in the Padres win. Manny coming through. Yeah, the Padres, they went 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position, left 4 guys on base. I believe the first 2 games in this series, they went 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position. So you obviously want that to improve, but they were able to hit the long ball in these first 2 games. That's been the problem for the Padres. And I don't think that, you know, these first 2 games of this Mets series is just going to change it all of a sudden. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is if they can get some power or keep the power that we saw those first 2 games, and add some more power at the deadline, I don't think we're going to see as many fans complaining about them not coming through with runners in scoring position, because they're still going to be able to have guys, you know, drive in themselves through home runs and not have to have a guy on base, you know, if that makes sense, and have, you know, like Austin Nola single to left or single to center with the runner on second, you know. But I thought it was an encouraging win yesterday. Yeah, the offense, 2 runs, Manny with the 2-run home run, but the pitching was really solid. And I think that 2-1 game last night, that's how you could see some of the these playoff games, the Padres are fortunate enough to make the postseason, and I think they will. You could see the Padres winning postseason games just like the way that they won on Saturday night. Good pitching, coming up with that timely hit, you know, playing good defense. I don't think they had any errors, did they? No, no errors. Just solid, crisp baseball. And hopefully Taylor Rogers is a little bit smoother in the ninth inning. I could see them winning playoff games like that. Is that going to be sustainable throughout the entire month of October? Probably not. But you're going to have to win some games like that. And the Padres, I believe they can do that if they play well. So that was a good win on Saturday. And then on Friday, the Padres won 4-1. They out-hit the Mets 8-4. I will get to your comments, by the way, in for anyone that does comment here. But, I mean, on Friday, Hosmer and Grisham, you know, I just talked about it, the 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position the first two games, coming through with power, you know, finally being able to hit the long ball. And they won on Friday night. Hosmer hitting the home run made it 2-0 in the fourth. And then Grisham with the homer in the seventh made it 3-0. And that's all they need. You know, they need the Hosmer two-run home run. But obviously, you take as many home runs as you want or as you can get. But coming through with the home runs, you know, I've been tough on Hosmer. I'm not a fan of Eric Hosmer. I'm a fan of the Padres, though. So when he's doing well, I'm fine with it. I'm happy when he does well, obviously. I want him to do well ultimately, because that helps the Padres win games. Maybe Grisham and Hosmer needed that recharge during the All-Star break. Maybe. I don't know. You know, because in the first half, or the beginning of the season, usually Hosmer gets out to those, you know, really hot stretches, you know, middle of May, right? And then Grisham, he hasn't really been the same guy that he was in 2020. But that was like a two-month spurt, right, 2020, where he went off. So maybe can he do that in that second half, in the second half this season? We'll see. But big home runs there. And on the mound, I mean, Yu Darvish, he pitched amazingly well. He gave up one run, but seven innings, four hits, struck out nine, only walked one guy, lowered his ERA to 2.8. Nick Martinez came in behind him, pitched an inning, scoreless. Taylor Rogers got the save, I believe three up, three down. So it was a phenomenal pitching night from Darvish, Martinez, and Rogers. And, you know, with Darvish, like, this is – and I was kind of crapping on the ESPN broadcast, but they were talking about it tonight, you know, late in the game, and it was like – and they were, I think it was Eduardo Perez talking about how the Padres built on this starting pitching, and I wouldn't want to face their rotation in the playoffs. And if they can get some offense, then they're a really dangerous team. And I agree with that. And we saw that with Darvish on Friday night, you know, going seven innings there. Like, he is absolutely nasty when things are working with that splitter, the strikeout, just, it's a really, really good strikeout pitch. Nine strikeouts on Friday night. He was cruising. And then Martinez, you know, that one inning that he pitched there in the eighth inning. I personally mentioned it already earlier in this episode. I think that it's best for Nick Martinez to be pitching multiple innings. You know, he started this year as a starter. I think he wants to be a starter. And I think that maybe they want Martinez to be pitching more consistently. But if you're going to get multiple innings out of Morejon, excuse me, and if you're going to get multiple innings out of Martinez, you could, like, alternate them, like, every other day and have them pitch two innings every other day. You know, like, maybe that's an effective thing. And then who knows about Mackenzie Gore? He didn't even pitch in this series. They just... I would expect him to pitch during this Detroit series, but this Mets series, they probably thought the games are going to be close, don't want to put him in there, put him in against a worse team, the Tigers, and give him some confidence. But, I mean, you know, I just keep going back to that Martinez-Morjon combination. I absolutely love what I'm seeing there. And then with Musgrove today, those three runs, obviously I'm not worried about Musgrove. Him, Darvish, I liked what I've seen from Clevinger these probably last month, right? In terms of starters. And then Manaea usually has quality starts. That's a pretty solid fourth starter, right? And Snell, I mean, obviously, if he pitches the way that he pitched on Saturday, I know he only went, what, like five innings? Let me check that real quick again. Yeah, five innings. But he didn't give up any runs. And he didn't walk like three or more guys, right? He struck out five. He got into a lot of jams, but he got out of a lot of jams. So if guys can just pitch, you know, consistently, and I know that's a lot easier to say than actually do, but I believe in this rotation. The guy I believe probably the least in is Snell in terms of him pitching really well consistently, but I believe in, you know, the top three guys I have a pretty high confidence level in the top three guys right now. And in the playoffs, if you have those top three guys, I don't know if they'd have Manaea pitch game three or they'd have Clev pitch game three. But if you have three guys and then you have Manaea coming in the bullpen or Martinez, Morjon, Snell maybe, he might be dominant if he only has to go one time through a lineup, right? That's pretty nasty in a playoff series. I know that I'm jumping ahead of myself right now. But, you know, they took two out of three from the Mets, and the Mets are a first-place team in the National League East. And so I'm really happy with this series. I know today wasn't great, but I like the way that the Padres fought back there late and scored some runs. They ended up scoring five runs in this game. They out-hit the Mets 13-12, but it was just a little sloppy defensively, and that's something that I think they need to clean up. I think that they need to obviously go get some bats at the deadline. I think that they got to hope that Fernando can stay healthy, obviously. And you hope that the reinforcements, Castillo, Baez, Pomerantz, Johnson, when those guys come back, they actually pitch well and they're not just taking up roster spots. If that can happen, that's a lot of things. If a few of those can happen, or, you know, two out of three of those can happen, like, this is going to be a real contender, I think, because I think they have a really strong rotation. I think they have a pretty strong top half of the lineup. They just need a couple more bats, and obviously having Juan Soto would really help as well, because it would extend that lineup, and it wouldn't make the bottom of the order, well, not really just the bottom, but like the bottom half, like 6, 7, 8, 9, sometimes even 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Acquiring Soto wouldn't make that look as bad, because then you acquire Soto, you get Tatis back. Now you have a lineup of Tatis, Cronenworth, Soto, Manny, Profar, Mazzara, or Myers, right? And that's your, what, 6, 1 through 6? And then who am I missing? Did I say Alfaro already? And then Ruiz or Grisham, you know, as like the 8 hitter. I didn't even mention Voit as the DH or whoever they pick as the DH. It just makes the lineup, longer, and there's obviously less holes. And August 2nd, how many days? Like 9 days away? We're waiting. I'm just patiently waiting for, maybe not patiently, but I'm waiting for Preller to make a move. I think it's not just going to be one move, but I am waiting for him to make that first move, and then I think he'll make multiple moves. And then when he makes multiple moves, hopefully those multiple moves are, you know, impact bats, and this lineup looks different. And I'm more confident in this lineup come August 2nd at like 1:05 p.m. or whatever after the trade deadline's over. So if you have any thoughts on this series, feel free to put them in the comments. Again, I am kind of talking a little softer today. Don't have my mic because I am in Minnesota with some family. And they're upstairs, and I'm not trying to wake them up or anything. So maybe turn up the volume if you can't hear me too well. But I don't see too many other comments here. Alfredo says, Lamet for Gallo and Cash maybe. I just don't know how high the Yankees are on Lamet. You know, like, I know they're not high on Gallo either, but Gallo, you would think he'd be on the major league roster. And I think that's a waste of a roster spot right now for what Joey Gallo's producing, which is like nothing. I think that's a waste. I'd rather have Nomar Mazara. I'd rather have Will Myers on the roster than Joey Gallo, right? I'd obviously rather have Juan Soto than Joey Gallo. Anyone would. So I think, you know, maybe earlier in the year I might have said yes a little bit, but the way Nomar's been playing, Myers probably coming back, I hope, during the Minnesota series, when they come back home to start that homestand on the 29th, I think it is. I think then, I would roll with Nomar and Myers over trying to go get Gallo. Like, I mean, let me look up Gallo's stats here real quick. Like, it's not pretty. I don't even think they're playing consistently. And I don't blame the Yankees. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. And they shouldn't. I mean, the guy has a 162 average. Sure, he has 12 home runs, which is more than a lot of guys on this team, which is kind of embarrassing. But Gallo is a strikeout or home run hitter. But, yeah, his OPS is only 631, and you want the OPS to be around 800, so he's really far away from that. He's only driven in 24 runs. And when you compare that, trying to look at Mazara's stats here, compare that to Mazara. I mean, Mazara's OPS is 736. He's played in less games than Gallo, I believe, this year, and he has 17 RBIs. Compared to, I think, 24 that I just said for Gallo. Like, I'd rather stick with Mazara, just having him play every day, than I'd rather have Myers and Mazara. I think that that's better than trading away someone for, I know it's Lamet, and he's probably not going to have a big role on this team this year, but trading him away to clear a roster spot for someone that would probably just sit on the bench, I don't know if I would sign up for that. All right, so we went through the three games against the Mets. And just for a standings update real quick. The Padres, obviously the division, it's out the window. National League West, the Dodgers have a huge lead on that. But for the wild card, the Braves hold the first wild card spot, 58-39. They're 7 games up on a wild card spot. The Padres are 4 games back of that first wild card spot. They're 54-43. It seems like they're going to stick with that second wild card spot. The Cardinals are 51-46. They have that third and final wild card spot. So the Padres have a 3 game lead on the Cardinals for a playoff spot, essentially. Excuse me. 3 games up on the Cardinals for the third. 4 games up on essentially a playoff spot. Philadelphia is 1 game back of the Cardinals for the final National League wild card spot. And that's 2 games back of St. Louis. So that's what we got. Atlanta, San Diego, St. Louis, Philly, and San Francisco. Miami's 5 back. They have a negative run differential. I don't really count them as real contenders this year. So the question is, can the Padres be better than can they be better than one of the 3 following teams, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and San Francisco? Because even if St. Louis passes the Padres would have the third wild card, and they just have to be better than one of Philadelphia or San Francisco to get that, right? Oh, no, they'd have to be better than both, sorry. 2 of the 3. Can they be better than Philly, San Francisco, or St. Louis? 2 of those 3 teams. I think they can. Sorry, I might have been confused a little bit, some of you guys. I don't know what I was thinking there. Yeah, can they be better? It's just weird looking at these wildcard standings right now, because I'm trying to like flip spots in my head. If the worst case scenario, the Padres are the third wild card. And then what would they have to do? They'd have to be better than Philly and San Francisco. They don't have to be better than St. Louis or one of those three teams. So they have to be better than two of those three teams to make the playoffs. I think they can. So that's what we got going with the division. Again, this episode is 203 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show brought to you by Gaglione Bros. Famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries, located inside Petco Park during the Padres season. They also have two locations in Mission Gorge and Point Loma. And you can visit GaglioneBros.com to view their menu, the phone numbers, the addresses, all that. Let's get back to the Padres here. To end July, they're 2 minutes back at home, but they've got now three games as the Detroit Tigers, and the Tigers right now are 38-58. They're not a great team. And tomorrow's game is at 4:10 Pacific time. Shamania is on the mound for the Padres, and Drew Hutchison, never heard of the guy, 4.46 ERA. He's on the mound for the Tigers. That's at 4:10. And Clevenger's pitching on Tuesday. That's at 4:10 as well. Detroit hasn't named a starter. And the series finale is on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Padres, Tigers, Darvish is pitching Wednesday, I believe. And the Tigers are going to put Tariq Skubal on the mound for that series finale. I mean, this, you hope the Padres can sweep these three games because the Tigers suck. They're 20 games under 500. And if they don't win the series, yeah, that's embarrassing. They definitely have to win the series. I will take a 4-2 road trip. You hope that it's 5-1 with the sweep. Just like I just mentioned, the Tigers suck. And you obviously have the favorable matchup every game because of how bad the Tigers are. But taking 2 out of 3, I probably can't complain too much. Unless, like, it's the Wednesday day game and they're up 3-0 going into the ninth inning and Taylor Rogers blows it or something. Then we have a problem, you know. So that's a quick pitching matchup preview of this Tiger series. And then they go back home and they play the Twins to end July and start August. And then I believe they host Colorado as well before going out on the road again. So that's the upcoming schedule for the Padres. A couple more questions or comments here in the chat. Anthony says, Preller has to wait for Soto. No pre-moves like last year for Frazier and Gallo and not get Gallo. Yeah. So I think what Anthony's saying is don't make any moves before the Nationals trade Soto or say that they're not trading Soto. I agree in terms of not making moves in the outfield because, to be honest, yeah, if they get Ian Happ and Contreras, I'd be happy, and they don't get Soto, okay, I'm fine. But if they don't acquire any outfielders because the Nationals don't know if they're trading Soto yet all the way up to the deadline, but the Padres, meanwhile, can go get, like, Wilson Contreras and get some relief help, I wouldn't be, like, I don't think I'd be pissed off at that because you're getting an all-star catcher, right? That still is an upgrade to your offense, right? And let's say the Nationals don't trade Soto, right? Okay, well, at least didn't go to the Dodgers, right? Maybe Preller was making phone calls and saying, hey, we can offer you something better than the Dodgers. But then the Nationals were like, no, we'll wait till the offseason. We just don't want to be pressured right now. You know, maybe that happens. I think it is a dangerous game, though, when, you know, how Anthony in the chat here is talking about waiting for Soto, because then if you wait for Soto and you don't make any other moves around the team on the roster, then you're, like, setting yourself up for failure like last year. I'm not saying, like, a collapse, because they do get touched and they get a good amount of guys back, but you're not setting yourself up for World Series success, I don't think, if you don't make any moves and you're only waiting for Soto and then Soto gets moved like a minute before the deadline or something and now you're left with nothing, right? I don't think that's the smartest thing to wait only for Soto. and don't make any other moves to the roster around him, like catcher and bullpen and stuff like that. I think in terms of the outfield, I can kind of agree with that because of how big that would be if they could get Soto. And the Padres have the best chance to get Soto. But I don't think the Cubs are going to be asking for the same prospects that the Nationals are going to be asking for in the Soto deal for Contreras. I don't think the Padres would have to give up Abrams in a Contreras deal. I think they'd give up Camposano, maybe Alfaro, and I think that might be it if they don't, you know, salary dump Hosmer or Myers or anyone like that. So that's the good news. Preller can still operate while dealing with Soto on one hand, and then on the other hand, talk about Contreras and all that. Other team, other upgrades, think he can do that. Outfielders, I'd be tough to improve in other areas of the team. So, 61 says they need two bats and one mid reliever. In terms of the part, like, we're not going to find out if Pierce Johnson and Baez and all those guys, the performance, we're not going to find out if they're going to really help the team until after the trade deadline is over. So I would like them to go get a reliever. Two more bats? You could say that. Where would that be? Like first base? First base, if you have Crony play second. And catcher? I know outfield as well. But if you're being nitpicky, it's probably more than two bats. You know, you kind of like an upgrade in center, or Soto, you can play him wherever. Get Soto and then figure it out. I don't care. But you could say, what, outfield, first base. I don't know how realistic an upgrade at first base is, though, just because of Hosmer's contract. And they already have Voit, too, and I don't think teams really are interested in Voit. But there, you could upgrade a catcher with Contreras. Like, you can make an argument that they should go out and get more than two bats. But if they get two bats, obviously, I'm not saying Mariznick like last year. That's not a bat, you know. That's a fielding first player. But if they go out and get, like, Contreras and Happ, yeah, I'd be happy with that. That's an upgrade for the team. All right, those are the only comments I see. Again, I am not San Diego right now, so I'd usually go longer, but I got some people upstairs sleeping, so I don't want to go too long. This was my series reaction. Mets series, they take 2 out of 3. Tiger series coming up before they head back home. I was encouraged by mostly what I saw in this Mets series, and I really hope they can sweep this Tiger series. So, all right, Ben Fadden, your host, signing off. This has been episode 203 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show presented by Gaglione Bros. Famous Cheesesteaks and Garlic Fries. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in on the podcast platforms and on the YouTube channel. Go Padres, and I'll talk to you guys.